In this episode, we have some adult conversations about sex and drugs, and there are some swear words. So if that's not for you, I recommend you skip it. And if it is for you, welcome to the I Don't Do That podcast, where we get into all the things that we're not into.
No, I don't do that. You know it's all right, you can ask, but I don't do that. No, I don't do that. I don't do that. I don't do that.
Episode 9.
I enjoy learning things about other people that have different views from me. Even if it's things that I don't like or disagree with.
I feel I'm a better human now. More accepting of a lot of things and genuinely happy.
Episode 9 is We Didn't Do Those as Jehovah's Witnesses. We are talking today with Ethan and Tyler, who are former Jehovah's Witnesses, aka XJWs. They host the Finding Paradise podcast, which is excellent. You can find that wherever you stream, and I highly recommend it. You can also catch an interview with me on there. Both of them live in Minnesota, USA. Tyler is 40 years old and is a practicing therapist at a mental health agency, and Ethan is in his mid-30s and works construction. He also grows some delicious microgreens. He's going to show me his setup so I can hopefully grow some healthy stuff indoors. Man, I love vegetables. Don't you? They're awesome. All of them. Both men identify as white and as XJWs. Today we will discuss the following activities from which they were forbidden from participating as Jehovah's Witnesses. Nothing on this list was allowed. Celebrating holidays, going to college, participating in extracurricular activities, including prom, including scouts, growing beards, getting tattoos, saluting the flag, eating holiday candy, serving in the military, voting, smoking, attending Alcoholics Anonymous, giving or getting blood, donating to charities, going to the YMCA, toasting beverages, cursing, disagreeing with the doctrines of the Jehovah's Witnesses, wishing other people luck, worshiping Jesus as God, and talking with friends and family who have been disfellowshipped. I realize this is an incomplete list. Still, we have a lot to get through. First, though, Ethan, Tyler, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah. I have been listening to your podcast, and I enjoy it a lot. I'm not done, but I plan on listening to the whole thing. And if we're still recording stuff, I'll listen to stuff in the future, too. So.
Appreciate it.
Right on.
Yeah. And so it's extensive, the podcast Finding Paradise, and there's a lot of stuff I'd like to ask you about, but I don't really have time in one day. So I thought it'd be fun for this show to focus on things that Jehovah's Witnesses don't do. Your podcast is about getting free from the Jehovah's Witnesses. And then at the end, I'd like to talk a bit about what it takes to leave the organization, if we can do that.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Sounds like a good discussion.
All right. So I got a list. I figure we can just talk about them. And if you wanted to add anything, we can talk about that too. There's things I knew about when we started, when I started listening to the podcast, because I've had some exposure. I suppose I have met some JWs before, like probably some went to school with me and stuff like that. But socially, not really. And it seems like that's sort of forbidden. Am I right?
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. Yeah, that's by design.
Yeah.
that you wouldn't have known them like in a social setting.
Mm-hmm. So did you have friends that were not JW? You weren't allowed to. Did that ever affect your life, or how did you encounter that?
Yeah, I mean, you could have friends in school, but that was it.
Okay.
There was maybe once or twice I was allowed to go play music with a couple school friends, but
okay.
Other than that, no. I like a good example growing up. One of my best friends, even to this day, was my neighbor, mm-hmm. Mitchell, and he could come over to my house every now and then as long as my parents were home. We literally were next door neighbors, but I could not go into his house.
Like, okay.
It was very frowned upon. Because it was mainly because my parents couldn't see what we're doing. Not that we were doing anything bad anyways. Listening to D12 and stuff, I suppose. They wouldn't have liked that, but...
Purple pills.
Yeah, that's what I was like, blue and yellow purple pills.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I mean, that was pretty similar to... You were always told that those are your acquaintances. Those aren't your friends. Mm-hmm. And right. So that was kind of growing up. I always had, you know, acquaintances. But I've had... You had those friends, and some of those that I have actually even kept up with 20 years later. I went to Texas to visit a friend of mine from high school back in August. So, you were definitely kind of kept separate from that, because I never hung out with any of those people like in high school all that much.
Yeah. And like you say, it's by design. Can you explain that a little bit?
Well, like Ethan was saying, your parents can't see what you're doing within someone else's, someone else's home, and it's a very controlling environment, and you're expected to toe the line in every single aspect of your life. You are a witness 24/7. And so you have to keep that up at all times. And if you're not being supervised, you might be doing something wrong.
Right. And they're worried about if you're hanging out with somebody that's not a witness, that has an open mind about other things or blah, 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 they might teach you things that they don't want you to know. The organization doesn't want you to know. You might grow,
but First they don't Corinthians 15:33, bad association spoils useful habits.
Yeah.
Wow. It's like to this day, I will never forget.
Who has dealings with the stupid one will fare badly. Right. I mean,
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. So
yeah, we both know our Bible.
Yeah. So was it like this with everyone? Were some parents more permissive or?
Oh yeah.
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 Would you say you were got the stricter end or the more permissive end? Or
my dad was strict, but there's families that were way more strict. My parents were good parents. I will say that. I love my parents.
Great.
You know, we don't talk, but I still love them.
I see.
They're in it, but growing up, they were, I don't know, fairly understanding. I got caught looking at porn one time, and I thought I was in it. Like, I was going to get in a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
No, I got in more trouble just from getting kicked out of school the second time. Yeah, but I mean, porn was bad.
Yeah.
You don't do that. But my dad was actually sympathetic.
Sure.
Probably because he looked at it too. Yeah.
Well, that's the same thing. Like, my parents were cool. Like, I love my parents, and I don't have any, I've always thought people do the best that they can with the information that they have. And so I think they did the best they could, and I love my parents. I don't have any complaints. It doesn't mean that they didn't make mistakes and that I don't think maybe they were misguided in the way that they raised us as kids, but that's not on them. I think as parents, they were great. They were, I wouldn't say mine were especially strict, but they were kind of middle of the road. And there were certain things that they may be a little bit more strict on than others, but I don't know. I think they were kind of middle of the road.
Was your dad an elder? I can't remember. Yeah. He was an elder.
Oh, off and on.
Off and on.
Yeah.
Yep.
And so it goes both ways too, from what I understand. So you could be influenced by them, but from what I understand, there's also some secrets that you're not really supposed to let out. Is that the case? This is more just something I read online, so that doesn't really speak to something I heard from you.
You mean like things you just don't talk about with worldly people?
Yeah.
Quote unquote.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, like, we weren't very, very vocal about disfellowshipping. Yeah. They don't. It would reflect badly on the organization.
Yeah.
If people knew what disfellowshipping was like,
yeah.
If the worldly people or the people outside the organization knew about that, it would reflect badly.
Yeah. I remember you would, because we had instructions on our teaching and how we were supposed to, work on, bringing people in. Mm-hmm. And some of the things that were always mentioned is, you don't give everybody all the information. You can't tell everybody everything that we do right out front because... that's just too much for people. And that's how it was always painted as, it's just too much. It's not that it was, that's fucked. And you shouldn't be doing that, which is the normal response.
Yeah.
It's, that's just too much.
So it's more like they can't handle the truth kind of thing.
Yeah, really.
And,
I guess I wouldn't say there's necessarily things that you're told you shouldn't talk about with outsiders, but it's more of a... how much should you talk to people at a time kind of thing. And yeah, I don't know that there's necessarily secrets. Most of the secrets that you wouldn't talk about are ones that that most, you know, rank and file witnesses are not aware of.
I see. Is there anything that you want to say now or that you feel like you can say now that you didn't feel like you could say before?
That I felt like I couldn't say while I was in?
Yeah.
That it's a cult.
Yeah.
And even that's a big one. That took a
time.
While.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Because, I mean, first you got to admit everything you knew was false. And your life was, to a certain extent, a waste. I mean, not completely, but... And then you got to accept the fact that you were in a cult and you have family members that are still in a cult. And yeah, that's hard, too.
But. So when you say everything you know is false, some of what I understand is like there's a mythology behind it that isn't accurate. Like, Tyler, I've heard you talk about that. Dates and things like that. And like,
yeah.
What is it that's false?
Well, on that end, I mean, the quick and dirty of that is I've always been kind of the scientific mind, and I always like numbers and math and things like that. And so for me, what kind of came down to is I had to prove there's a mathematic formula based on a set of scriptures
mm-hmm.
that essentially leads from the destruction of Jerusalem in 607 BCE by the Babylonian armies, counting forward 2,520 years to 1914.
Mm-hmm.
And 1914 then is supposed to be, it's a date that, according to witnesses, Satan and the demons were kicked out of heaven in a holy war down to the vicinity of the earth, and now they're here, and that's why.
And there's a reason that it's 2,500 whatever years. It's
based on this formula of math that they came up with through the Book of Daniel, which connects to the Book of Revelation, supposedly, and all this and that. And there's a
it's like a Bible code.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
I didn't know that. I mean, I heard you guys talk about it, but I didn't know the specifics of it.
But the problem with that is, if you look at it objectively, if you're looking at their literature, 607 BCE is when Nebuchadnezzar II destroyed the temple in Jerusalem.
Mm-hmm.
But that's wrong. That's not when it happened.
Mm-hmm.
If you actually look at history, it was 587, 586-ish BCE. So there's a 20-year gap there where they're completely wrong. So I'm like, oh, well, if that's 20 years late, then 1934 then should be the date. But they hinge everything on this 1914 date, and everything about their theology completely collapses if you take 1914 out of the equation.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't tell them, hey, 607 is wrong. Otherwise, the entire house of cards comes down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It sounds like they're banking on something that's really specific. You know, it's almost tragic on their end that it's that specific and that it's able to be disproven.
Right.
Yeah.
It's funny. They have there's a series of articles that they actually published back in 2010, 2011. And it was the title of the articles was "When Was Ancient Jerusalem Destroyed?" And at the beginning of those articles, there's an asterisk that says all of the experts quoted in this do not agree with our belief that it happened in 607. And so when I started waking up from it, I was like, wait, hold on. So you're literally right at the beginning of that article saying that we're going to cherry pick shit out of what these experts are saying to support what we want. Even though they're not going to agree with us, we're going to take a bit of what they said that makes it look like they do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see that. That sounds problematic.
Right.
If you're saying, hey, this is literally true, then, yeah, it's very problematic to make someone believe that when you can see that it's not.
Right.
Yeah.
And they argue it, but the Neo-Babylonian period is one of the most well-documented eras in ancient history.
Yeah, don't they have like sales receipts that are still, I mean,
there are find hundreds out who and hundreds
on this day. I mean,
yeah.
If you can do that, you can figure out when it fell.
Well, right, because they have hundreds of thousands of documents, cuneiform, stylae, different things, and
that was one of the early forms of.
Yeah,
that was one of the reasons people started writing stuff down. Yeah. Was for sales,
and it would document this person sold it to this person on this date, and the moon and the stars were in this position. Like it had everything to where you could chart, and there's no gaps in that timeline, even though that's what they assert is there. Oh well, you know, that's not good dating back then. No, it's pretty much rock solid.
Yeah. So getting away, there's that part. There's the very factual part.
Right.
So what was the other truth that maybe you woke up from?
that all people that weren't Jehovah's Witnesses were evil and just had sex with each other all the time and did all the drugs. And
so just a huge drug-filled orgy out here?
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. I was pretty disappointed, honestly. It doesn't seem to be that way.
I'm disappointed.
There's a distinct lack of drugs and sex going on right now.
Yeah, just like a very brutal view of people that are not, were not witnesses. And they're all going to die and...
That's true. I agree with that part.
I'll be killed. I'll be killed by Jesus and all this stuff. Yeah.
So Jesus is going to come back and kill everyone who's not Jehovah's Witness.
Yeah.
And then what happens to... So you're talking about paradise. I heard about that, but I don't know anything about that either. So that, what's going to happen to Jehovah's Witnesses then if you're good?
So there's a specific number that is supposed to go to heaven and reign with Jesus, 144,000.
And they're coming back with Jesus to kill you.
Yeah.
That 144,000 are also coming in.
I'm sorry.
It's Jesus and those guys.
So it's Jesus and the army of good people.
Yeah.
Okay.
They're going to murder you. Us. They're going to murder
us. They're murdering us.
Okay. But then,
first, probably.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
I'm going to get in between.
Yeah.
I'm going to protect. I'm going to shield you guys.
Perfect.
So they'll kill me first. Yeah.
And hold your little sign there, big man in charge.
You're like, look, Ocho thinks I'm awesome, so you fuck off, Kenny Rogers, Jesus.
But okay, so that's the small flock or whatever.
That's the anointed.
The anointed, yeah. Mm. Then there was the great crowd, which were like us when we were witnesses. We weren't anointed. We weren't going to heaven. But those people would live in paradise, on a paradise earth where you can fucking pet tigers and lions eat hay and you live forever.
Have a pet panda and shit.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
But you all wear button-ups, you know, that are tucked into your dress pants.
You all look like you're from a Dockers commercial.
Yeah, we still have guitars
Lions
and all that.
Hey, I'm stuck on that.
Well, I mean, yeah, nothing kills anything. And not, I see. You know, like,
there's no danger, so you're safe.
Right. Yeah, you're at peace and harmony with the animals.
But there's a dress code? And,
apparently.
Okay. Yeah, it looked like it from all the paintings.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
You might have like a super dope house, like on the side of a mountain.
Mm-hmm.
But, how specific is this vision of paradise then too? This is thing, like when I talk about my spirituality, I usually ask questions. Like if people say, do you believe in God? I'm like, what do you mean? Who is that? So like,
which one?
Yeah, right. Which one? So like, tell me what it is you're asking me and I'll answer. You know what I mean? And maybe we'll get to some of that after this. I hope on your show.
Well, I mean, like the picture of paradise. I mean, you talk about that damn near every publication that they have, you'd probably see a picture of their artist's depiction of what paradise is. And it would always be a little bit different, but it's always going to have that same theme. It's always bright and sunny. There's always nice animal, you know, wild animals running around with the people. And even growing up, like we were told, like at various times, like, well, just picture yourself there. Like imagine yourself in the paradise.
Picture yourself there. You're probably going to be there.
Yeah.
Because that's in the Bible.
That's how that works. Mm-hmm. Just manifest it. It'll be fine.
Yeah. And you're saying that's in the Bible. Like it's sarcastic. Is that not in the Bible? I don't know.
Not that I know of.
It doesn't say if you can picture yourself in paradise that you'll be there.
I've never seen that passage.
But then everybody, a lot of people I knew had their own ideas on what paradise would be like. Like I had an uncle that if you said there was going to be vehicles in paradise, he would flip shit.
I remember you saying that on your show.
Oh, yeah. He would freak out and then start telling you why there's not going to be vehicles for a good half hour.
There's no scooters or dirt bikes.
Absolutely not.
Certainly no trucks or tractors. No, none of that.
No. Right. No.
Yeah. No, everyone did, which is funny because it was always painted as this united brotherhood and, you know, everything was so united, but so many people had their own thoughts and their own. They all kind of fell within a prescribed set of rules, but then there was some gray areas that people just kind of filled in the blanks with their own fantasies.
I would ask my dad, well, are we going to continue to reproduce? And he's like, oh, yeah, absolutely. Okay, then what happens when we're all living forever? Do you just stop growing up at a certain age? And then what happens when we fill the whole earth? Well, I'm sure Jehovah will take care of it. Who knows? He could create new planets for us to live
it would just magically stop the reproductive power. Like your reproductive powers would just stop. Like once the earth reaches capacity is another idea that I like. Okay. So like all of a sudden I'm shooting blanks just because like we like reach fire code? Like, what's going on?
Fire code. Okay. It seems to me like they haven't thought of everything.
Right. And it's almost as though they're filling shit in as they go.
Yeah. And that kids are maybe could be consulted about what questions to answer in their future publications.
Or, yeah. Mm-hmm.
I just want to take a second in the middle to talk to our listeners. Thank you for listening to this podcast. I've been getting a lot of positive feedback about the production and the concept and the content. If you're a financial contributor, I want to thank you especially. Even if you're just giving a few dollars a month, it really does help keep the lights on around here. And to anyone who's interested in making a contribution, you can do that at idontdothatpodcast.com/give. That's idontdothatpodcast.com/give. So I want to get back to this list.
Yeah.
We're back on track.
Yeah, you've got a good list here, man.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Did you want to speak to anything on there? You both have beards and tattoos,
yeah,
which are not allowed.
No.
Piercings.
They have loosened up on tattoos from what I've heard.
Okay.
And beards to a certain extent, but yeah, it's very locational.
Yeah.
So it depends on,
yeah,
the people that are running that congregation, that Kingdom Hall.
And so not every congregation is, as we were talking about with families, some are more strict than others, and so is with congregations as well.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
And that makes sense. Unless you're really touting the fact that you are espousing something that's literal and absolutely correct, then right, you really shouldn't have much variance.
Right. That kind of takes away the gray area, right, I thought.
You're right.
That was pretty big deal for me. Like I, mm-hmm, when I mentioned it on our podcast, but when I got disfellowshipped, mm-hmm, the reason I got disfellowshipped, I was fooling around with a girl. She didn't get disfellowshipped. Her trial was completely different than mine. And it's just because we're in different congregations, you know?
So quickly, yeah. I just like, so disfellowshipping, if you get caught doing something you're not supposed to do, like having
most of the things on this list.
Things on this list. the one that you mentioned, like, so you're being intimate with this girl in some way that you get caught and you're not supposed to be doing that. Mm-hmm. So disfellowshipping, there's a trial within the church that you're saying, or?
Yeah, so you have what's called elders meetings.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's like a minimum of two before, right? So it's two elders that sit with you.
It's an investigation.
It's a straight up investigation. They ask you extremely inappropriate things, like especially when it comes to fornication and stuff. Things they don't need to know. I remember one time they were asking me, like, have you committed adultery? I said, oh yeah. What was her name? I'm like, wasn't a witness. You don't need to know that. Yes, we do. What was her name? And I'm like, geez, I didn't tell them. But it was just like, anyways, so you have...
They'll ask you how many times you finished.
Oh, yeah.
Like, did you have an orgasm? How many times? Like,
yeah, it's...
yeah.
And I mean, we're men and we were in these positions.
Yeah, yeah.
I can only imagine how horribly awkward and terrible it must have been for females to be in that position. Because it's elders are always men.
Yeah, there's no exceptions for having like a female representative or something with you.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, if there's a man asking you and that man has power over you, yeah. That does sound horrible.
Yes. Yeah. So, yeah, you have two elders meetings. And if they deem it necessary, it goes to a judicial committee meeting.
And these elders, they're church leaders.
Yeah, pretty much.
And
I mean,
are they appointed? If from what I understand, they're not elected or anything like that.
No,
it's just they're appointed by other elders.
And they have to send a letter off to the organizer, or to the branch, and then they review the information and send back a letter of yes, no.
Not anymore.
Oh, they changed it?
They changed that. Now it's the circuit overseer makes the decision, and if the circuit overseer says it's cool, then he just goes, hey, I'm appointing this. And they still send it to Bethel. They go, okay, yep, great, sign it. As long as the CO signs off on it, they don't care.
Okay.
So then, yeah, when you get to a judicial committee meeting, they bring in a third elder. You sit there, plead your case. They make you leave the room for a while while they deliberate. Then you come back in, they tell you, well, here's what we're going to do with you. So the first time I got publicly reproved, I just lost my privileges. Couldn't do soundboard, whatever.
You're running sound at events.
At church.
Sure, at church.
Yeah,
okay.
Microphones. Yeah.
Starting the music. And
Yeah, stuff like that, connecting people on the phone.
Still doing that part of it. We're doing that right now.
This is where I learned these skills.
Or they might not do anything, or you get disfellowshipped. That was my second go, is I got diffed, we call it.
And so getting diffed, does that mean people can't talk to you then? Or
Yeah. So they give you until the following Tuesday or whatever.
Yeah, you get 7 days to appeal if you want.
And then, so you can still talk to people. You don't get to comment anymore. You don't have any privileges anymore immediately. But basically, they give you some time to say your goodbyes.
What would commenting be?
You know, like those pamphlets they hand out on Saturday mornings? One of them's a watchtower.
Yeah.
They study those every Sunday. And you can raise your hand and comment on the questions.
So there's a conductor. Ask. He'll go through the paragraphs. He'll ask questions. And then you've got people sitting out in the...
Yeah. You can't really talk to the group.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you can basically sit in the back row and you can just kind of observe.
Yeah.
You can be around, but you can't really talk. Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
But then after they announce it, then all contact is done.
Yep. You're still allowed to sit in the back row.
Yeah. Then, but yeah.
Now definitely no one can talk to you. So like for that week or so, you know, while they're waiting for the announcement, you know, people could still come up and talk to you and stuff. And honestly, most people wouldn't know unless you would say something to them that, yeah, hey, I'm being disfellowshipped or I'm being reproved here next week or whatever. And so you still have that community, I guess. But once that announcement is made that if it's not reproved and you are disfellowshipped, then everything cuts off.
So what is everything? I mean, your family are Jehovah's Witnesses, right? Like your people that you live with. I mean, are they talking to you or are they like...
Immediate family is still is okay. You're not allowed to have spiritual conversation. Like you can't talk about the Bible and meetings and things like that with them. But your immediate, you know, in-home family, you are still allowed to communicate with.
Within reason.
Right. They won't take you out to do things because what if they run into other witnesses? Now they can't talk to them. But yeah, everyone outside of that, like my brother that I don't live with, well, I guess I've never been disfellowshipped when I was still at home, but like if I was still living under my parents' roof, you know, I could still talk to them and my siblings there, but my brother outside, nope, would not be able to talk to him anymore. And certainly every friend that you've had that's still within the church or the org, like that, you can't talk with them anymore.
And those are your friends, am I right? Because you're not really allowed to have other friends.
You weren't allowed to have the outside friends.
So, I mean, this probably goes without saying, but like this is very lonely, am I right?
Very.
And alienating.
Mm-hmm. It's meant to be that way. But it's meant to make you feel like nothing, like you have nothing. You have nothing without this organization. And those people won't talk to you because if they do, they could face the same repercussions, you know. I mean, they could get disfellowshipped themselves if you talk to disfellowship people.
Well, it's a mechanism that even, you know, mental health professionals recognize as basically a form of psychological torture.
Sure.
It's brutal, this level of shunning. And I've actually worked on it a little bit and, you know, kind of gathering some statistics, and I've written some papers on it, and kind of early numbers, estimates, somewhere like 50 to 60% of people end up suicidal when they're in that state. And yeah, I mean, I can attest to that. Like we're batting 1,000 here. So like, like we've been there.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
Well, I'm somebody, glad you made it.
I appreciate that. Yeah. Somebody described it one time as, imagine waking up one morning and 500 to 1,000 of your closest friends and family died overnight.
Yeah.
But they're still alive, but they're not, is just kind of the way it is.
Like
the way
you're
life
a ghost
is.
Or mm-hmm. they're ghosts.
It's kind of like a sixth sense kind of deal. You're Bruce Willis in Sixth Sense at that point.
Well, it sounds fucked up, but I've thought this before. It almost would be easier to deal with if they were dead.
Yeah.
Because then it's not by their choice, you know. It's not like they're just not talking to you anymore. They can't, but they're choosing not to. It's almost worse.
Is that indefinite, or how long is that disfellowshipping? Is that like...
So, that's another thing. I mean, like, I tried to get back in, so you wait usually a minimum of 6 months, and then you write a letter of reinstatement, and then they have a meeting with you, and they kind of go over, like, well, you've been missing some meetings, we noticed you haven't been studying, and blah, 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 so we're not going to we're not going to reinstate you today. And that's pretty much what happened to me. I mean, well, I was still making all the meetings, so I was doing pretty good. Yeah, in their terms. But then, yeah, I mean, you can get back in.
Uh-huh. But 6 months.
I would say the shortest I've ever heard of anyone being reinstated is within 6 months. Typically a year is kind of like 6 months to a year is about when you could first start looking at it. And again, if they don't agree that you are toeing the line properly, then they go, yeah, you know, why don't you do this, 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 and this differently, and then come see us again in 6 months.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I told you I wasn't going to ask you to explain what is going on with them, but what do they expect will happen? Like if a human being can't communicate with anybody in their tribe or, you know, and really anybody, for 6 months, at least, I don't understand.
It's nuts.
Sorry.
I think they had a higher return rate back kind of like in the 90s, stuff like that. When communication amongst all the other people was a little harder. But nowadays, I mean, you got XJW Reddit, you got podcasts up the wazoo, you got YouTube channels of all of ex-Jehovah's Witnesses. So now, I don't know what they're doing or what they expect.
The internet is not in their favor.
No, most people just don't go back because we have a community now. You know, I mean, you don't have to look too far to find.
People that left 20 years ago, they didn't have the support systems that we have now. And that we've even, you know, to a certain extent have helped to try to create ourselves and try to help out other people in the area.
I've noticed that. Yeah.
Like it's a different ball game now. And that's one thing that I, you know, if there are any witnesses out there that are listening or questioning or anything, like just know that there are actually people outside that are pretty cool and that still actually do care about you.
Yeah. What are some resources for them?
Reddit. The XJW subreddit is huge. So that subreddit started in 2008, I believe. And I watched it go. I joined it in 2018, and it was at like 30,000 members. So like that first 10 years or so, it grew like up to like 30,000. And then within like 2 years, shortly after that, and then COVID hit and it blew up. And last I saw it was at like 78,000 something. Like it had doubled or almost tripled in size again from that in like 2 to 3 years. So like the XJW subreddit is huge. Take it with a grain of salt, because I've said too, when you get that many like pissed off, disillusioned people in one space, you're going to see some toxic behavior and you're going to see some really pissed off people. Like, so you kind of got to be a little bit judicious there as well, but with the understanding that these are people that are hurting too. And so, you know, kind of give people some space. There's a lot of great, Twitter feeds that are wonderful, that have a lot of support. Facebook, YouTube, like Ethan mentioned, a ton of channels on YouTube.
So it seems if people search for XJW, EXJW on sort of whatever they're socially
any
into
platform
on the internet or even on a search engine or whatever, they're going to get.
Yeah. And therapy. And find therapy. That's a huge one. If it's available to you, if it's something you can take advantage of, that's the first place actually that I would recommend someone to.
Okay. Yeah, and that makes sense. And find a therapist who has experience with people who have been indoctrinated into cults.
Yeah, and they're few and far between. That is not a specialty that very many therapists have. I've fired therapists because they don't have that understanding.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, therapists, man, they got to deal with a lot.
I am one is the thing. Like, I mean, I am a therapist and I deal with these things, but still, like, you know, we seek our own therapy. That's kind of the cardinal rule. But I've had difficulty finding a therapist that understands what I'm going through in my personal life.
Are you taking clients or is there any?
Yeah.
Yeah. People find you? Do you want to advertise that?
I cannot. I'm through an agency.
I got you. Okay.
Yeah, we have our own referrals.
Yeah, I got you. Okay.
I am looking to get my own, and I'm not doing any like XJW work or anything like that right now. But I am looking to eventually. That is my goal. Like, I am hoping to start my own practice helping XJWs as much as possible.
So I have a question. So candy.
You said something about candy on the podcast. You're like, someone was handing out candy and you wished that you could take some candy, but you couldn't.
Oh,
it was probably birthday.
Either
candy.
A birthday or it was Christmas. There was one time in high school where Santa Claus came to it.
Yeah.
It was high school too.
Take some candy, kid. Yeah. I remember this now.
And he's like, you want some candy? I'm like, no. He's like, take candy. And he like threw candy at me. And I was like, who the fuck is this guy? But whatever. Yeah, no, I mean, we could eat candy. But if it was tied to birthdays or holidays, then no.
Then it had the
You're
demons
not supposed
in it.
To.
Okay. So the context of the candy is important.
Yes.
Not Halloween candy.
No.
But we would always go clean house like at the Walmart and stuff like after Halloween and after Easter and stuff when there was leftover candy.
Yeah,
it didn't matter that it had like the Halloween on the bag.
You as an organization would clean Walmart?
No, as individuals, like we would go like afterwards. You'd go buy like all the on sale candy after.
Yeah, I've got
it. And it didn't matter that it had Easter bunnies and like
clearance.
You know, jack-o'-lantern. You're right. You'd go buy the clearance candy.
Mom even bought me some costumes after Halloween.
What?
I got like werewolf fangs and stuff like that, but it was okay because Halloween was done.
Yeah. So you're not celebrating anymore.
So you could wear costumes, but you couldn't celebrate Halloween.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And there was I saw like you couldn't wear a uniform of like a military uniform or of like a scout uniform or something like that. Is that something you encountered? These are just things I read online.
So. Like military and scouts were off limits because those were militaries.
Yeah.
You know, military. We're supposed to be politically and militarily neutral.
Yeah.
Scouts. I believe scouts are run by religious organizations.
So y'all are politically neutral?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
You would not. Yeah, you would never go to war. You don't vote. You don't run for office. You would not.
You don't salute the flag.
Don't salute the flag.
Don't salute. Which got me a lot of punk cred.
Yeah. Don't stand for the national anthem.
Oh, no. You could stand.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You could stand. Don't put your hand over your heart.
Don't take your hat off.
Yeah.
Most of them wouldn't stand. But you get hassled by people behind you and stuff if you didn't stand at least.
This whole show is about, you know, you do and you don't do whatever you don't do. And
right.
and that's, it's not about hassling anybody, but it's odd that it's just like for this reason, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's not the reason you hear about when people don't stand or don't say the pledge or whatever. It's not the reason I would abstain from doing that, you know?
Right, right.
And I, like I say, I'm not going to ask you to explain, but I don't really understand that, like not voting and not, running for office or like.
Well, yeah, because political offices, like we had talked about, we're all going to be destroyed by Jesus and the 144,000 at any moment. Like,
okay.
You never know. Like it could be right now. And with that in mind, why would you worry about voting or trying to invest in this system of things when the real answers are what's coming next? And so,
I mean,
from the indoctrinated mind, it makes total sense.
I just, if you're going to be destroyed any day, why would you invest in anything other than basic maintenance or something? Like,
right. And they're all men. They're just men. So they're all imperfect. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Like they don't know what they're doing.
Yeah.
No.
I mean,
I'm not going to have arguments with people that aren't here.
Right.
Yeah, it's more about you guys if you have experience with this. Okay, so but I do have another question. So drinking is okay, but not smoking?
Oh yeah. 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 Yeah, drinking to a certain extent. You could be drunk, but as long as you don't show it, you're fine.
As long as you're not puking or falling over, according to their rules, you can that's the line.
Do you have to be 21 then, or does it have to be legal?
I had my first beer at like 15, from my parents.
Yeah, my parents would let me drink a beer or whatever at home, and
So no,
the organization doesn't really frown on that.
It's about the only vice that they allow, and so people take advantage of it.
That
like there is a
pills.
There's a well yeah and pills, but yeah there's a lot of people that have. That drink fairly heavily within the organization because that's the only vice outlet that they have. So
sure. Mm-hmm. Sure. I mean, I've had it as a vice.
Yeah.
It works for a lot of shit.
Yeah. It's a coping mechanism.
it's self-medicating and it's like, it does its job.
Mm-hmm. It's the only means of self-medicating that's allowed.
Yep. I like that you have the YMCA on here. Yeah, too. I don't think a lot of people know that.
No.
Yeah.
Well, is that because it's a religious funded organization, or is it? I don't know.
It's run by the Catholic Church.
No.
Yeah, there's YMCA and YWCA. It stands for Young Men's Christian Organization or Association or something like that.
Yeah.
And Salvation Army is the same way.
Yep.
Yeah. So, and the whole thing is like what I was reading too is there's no supporting charities, like other religious charities. Do you have your own charities? I don't mean to say you. Did the JWs have their own charities or?
No, donation boxes.
Yeah, they didn't call them charity, but you're expected to donate money
to the church.
And I guess to be fair, I guess they usually had like two or three boxes. So they had like a box for local contributions. They had a box for worldwide work, which was basically for printing books and Bibles and magazines and stuff like that. And then sometimes they would have like a disaster relief fund, or if there was like a special project or something that they're working on, they would have, you know, a box for that. So yeah, you're not supposed to donate to other charities, but they want you to donate to them.
Right.
And they are, you know, and because they're a church, they're a tax exempt organization. So they don't have to pay taxes on any of that. They make a lot of money, on donations like that. And they've even, you know, they'd always talk about how you don't, you know, we don't tithe, we don't take 10% of your check, and you know, you're not expected to give a certain amount of money. But then within the last 2 years, they've started saying, well, we're not asking you to give a certain amount of money, but we ran the numbers and $8.50 per person per month is about what it would cost to keep things afloat. So what do you guys think? Mm. And of course, everyone's going to be like, uh-huh. Yeah. And they'll pass a resolution.
Why don't we just round it up to 10?
Yeah. And so the congregation will pass a resolution.
It's a small price to pay to not get smited by 144,000 ghosts.
Exactly.
Okay.
It's a pay-to-play situation. Like, it really is.
That was one thing I didn't do. I didn't donate.
No.
I donated maybe like three times in my whole life.
No. I mean, like, I donated a few more than that, but not a lot. I got kids, and I would occasionally give my kids, like, here's a dollar, go put it in the box. And that kept up appearances, I guess. Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah. No, you got other, I mean, stuff on here. You got like college on here. That's frowned upon. Right. Like, you know, even when I was an adult, like I remember I had a class in it was on religions of the world. And I talked to an elder friend of mine. I was like, can I take this class? Like, can I do that? Is that okay? He's like, well, yeah, that'd be okay. I mean, you're not being taught to like follow those religions. You're being taught about, you know, the facts of those religions. I'm like, okay, fine. But yeah, like college is highly frowned upon because you'll think for yourself. You have to, you actually have to back up what you're saying with facts and evidence. You have to have your resources and you have to think critically, and that's not something that they want. So yeah, college is definitely one that is, yeah, it is highly frowned upon. And the other one is like giving and getting blood.
Yeah.
That one there is, that one is like especially troubling because I mean, people die. Like people quite literally, Ethan and I have a good friend who like lost a close family member of theirs because of this rule. I've got a good friend in the Metro.
They bled to death.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, refusal of blood transfusions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I have a friend in the Metro. She was a DPA, durable power of attorney, for her sister, who was incapacitated and needed a blood transfusion to survive.
Yeah.
And this friend of mine, she said, no, we can't do that. Yeah. And her sister died. And it's that immediately is what woke her up and went, oh shit, I just killed my sister. And so, yeah, I mean, there are, and again,
that has to be so hard because it's procedure. So she has to really be standing in the way and saying, no, you're not going to put blood into this person. And they're going to argue with her.
Yeah. While doctors are saying they're going to die.
And a lot of times elders are there to make sure they don't take blood. Cause that's the thing too. I mean, you could take blood, and if you do and you survive, you're diffed. You're kicked. Now you're ostracized, you know? So it's just like,
That sounds really important to them. I don't get it, but it sounds important.
Well, they form these hospital liaison committees, is what they're called, and they will send two elders to your bedside basically to make sure that the doctors know not to give you blood.
Yeah. I mean, we could delve into that at some other... That's pretty extensive.
Oh, yeah.
Their thoughts on blood and stuff, it's ridiculous, but...
But it's another one of those ones where numbers are hard to, like, actually, like, nail down. But, I mean, it's thought to be, you know, tens of thousands of people have died because of this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they would defend this position, too.
Yeah, because of one verse in the Bible that says to abstain from blood.
Yeah,
1800 years before it was ever used in a medical context.
yeah.
Okay.
it was specifically a dietary restriction, but
don't eat blood.
But, you know, it was talking about dietary and abstain from blood. Okay, yeah, don't eat blood. Sure, fine. But if it means saving someone's life, abstain from blood.
Yeah.
And they use the example of if a doctor told you to abstain from alcohol because it would kill you, would you pump it into your veins? Well, no, because I would kill you, dumbass. Obviously, that's a horrible illustration.
I think the thing that's even more disturbing is, like, sometimes, well, especially when they're kids, they'll make them into martyrs. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a kid that, what was it, 1993 or something, this kid died because he needed a blood transfusion. He's just young, and they did this whole part on how courageous he was and how his parents, how great they were for letting their kid die.
There's an entire 1984 awake of, like, eight kids that they... have their pictures and their story of everything, and it was they died for their faith.
Yeah,
was the name of the name of that magazine?
Fucked.
No, they were martyred.
Yeah, I mean, it gets me thinking about cognitive dissonance because you studied psychology. I mean, if you insist that your child does not get blood and then they die as a result, it would be very difficult for you to later say, "Oh, I made a mistake," because the stakes are so high at that point.
Oh yeah,
so. I mean, what I see psychologically happens there is that you become very married to this institution after that.
Yeah, you double down.
Because if you wake up, I mean, your life is all over, you know?
Yeah.
Lloyd Evans, one of a big XJW guy, said that about that kid. He's like, in this instance, I hope his parents never wake up. I hope they never leave the witnesses. Because if they do, it would be the worst day of their lives.
Yeah.
But. Well, yeah, there's some really serious stuff.
Yeah. The other one that you have on here that I think is really cool is the disagree with JW, and that's a big one. Because we've talked about, you know, the critical thinking and independent thinking skills. Like that's how we grow. Like I enjoy learning things about other people that have different views from me. Right. Like I don't know a hell of a lot about you, but like I would love to know more about your story and like get to know, even if it's things that I don't like or disagree with, or I'm like, oh, that sounds.
Yeah, we're going to talk about it.
But it's one of those things where like different strokes for different folks, I think is beautiful.
Yeah.
But in this context, there's specifically eight right now. The number varies, but there's eight men that make up what's called the governing body. And those eight men, that governing body is what makes all of the decisions for all the policy, what is and isn't a sin and what is and isn't right and wrong. They're the ones that pass all of that down, and you're not allowed to disagree with them or question any of that. And if you are, you're labeled an apostate like us.
Yeah.
Hey, yo.
Whoop.
Cheers. We're not allowed to do that either.
Clank. No. Nope.
Yeah.
Yeah, can't toast.
These are cans. These don't sound very good.
But couldn't toast because it was, is it a luck thing?
It's luck.
It
was, and
yeah.
Had like
yeah, good luck. Like, and
This one surprised me too. And tell me if this is your experience. Not allowed to worship Jesus as God.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's Jesus, no Trinity or nothing like that. It's, yeah. You have Jehovah, and then you have Jesus, and then the Holy Spirit was different. Even
could you worship the Holy Spirit?
I don't know.
No, that would be bad too. And there's specific things like rules about the Holy Spirit. Like you can't like grieving the Holy Spirit. There are certain things that like you couldn't say or do. And because for the most part, like, you know, anyone can be forgiven of their sins, but there are certain things that if you like you read through the Bible, that they consider unforgivable. And like grieving the Holy Spirit would be, so like, I don't know.
It, yeah, what does that even mean?
Yeah, I think basically if I was saying, hey, fuck you, God, I think that would be like...
Oh, when you say grieving, I think like,
oh, I'm so sorry.
Like making it...
Holy Spirit.
I see, yeah.
Like, I don't know. But, essentially things that would be considered like blasphemous or that would be speaking against God or the Holy Spirit.
That's, I mean, like some of these, like that's kind of common in religion, right? But it seems as though praying to Jesus...
It's kind of universal.
Yeah, it seems like people who believe that Jesus is the Son of God, then they pray to Jesus.
Mm-hmm. We did, that is one thing that we did, like when we did pray, it was, you know, you would pray through Jesus.
Yeah.
So, you know, every prayer, you know, in Jesus' name.
Okay.
But,
okay.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Bless.
Are there other stuff on here you wanted to talk about? I know there's like, there's things like we're talking about football. There's like prom is on here.
Yeah,
like
prom.
Things that
AA.
AA.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't, yeah, whatever.
Well, you got AA like, is pretty similar to, well, I mean, the YMCA or whatever, because it's a
religious pact.
Religious, yeah.
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
the same idea.
It's a spiritually like, focused thing that's.
Yeah.
Especially like step seven is giving yourself over to a higher power or something. I think it's step seven, right. But yeah. And I mean, and like the extracurriculars on like prom kind of falls under that, I think is like but yeah, like you're not allowed to engage in extracurricular activities like sports and
it boils back or kind of comes back to, not having friends that aren't witnesses. So it's unnecessary time spent with people that are not, they don't believe the same thing you believe basically.
They would tell you to go find other JW friends and go play basketball with them after school.
Right. Well, did they have awesome programs for you to do that? Did they have a JW prom? And nope. Like...
No, we did play a lot of sports, though. We get do a lot of pickup games.
Yeah,
those were pretty fun, but it was never like highly organized or nothing. But
yeah, there was never anything organized or never any like skills building. Which
my gnarliest concussion came from a JW pickup game.
Yeah. That's the thing. I've seen a bunch of them at like football games and stuff. Oh. Yeah, it was all the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some of the shittiest behavior I've ever seen have been at like
so sporting events.
Yeah.
And like brats. They're all just whiny brats. Mm-hmm. I played football in Chaska, I think, one time with the J-Dubs, and it was so bad. I never went back.
Yeah. I played in Jordan one time, watched a dude literally try to break this dude's ankle on purpose.
Oh my.
Yeah. Highly competitive. Like, yeah.
And then he got stomped in the face and I laughed.
Nice.
Because there was this guy who was he played college ball when he had been out for a little while and he had actually gotten drafted, I believe, and then injured his ankle. He had like a few practices, I think, with the Vikings. And then injured his ankle, ended up not playing, but he was still an amazing football player. Like, and he was huge. And there was this guy that thought he was big and tough and this.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm going to break his ankle one of these times. And he kept going after this guy. His name is Mike. And he did, this guy dove for his foot. And I watched him like crank at his ankle.
Grab it.
Like grab the front of his foot and his heel. And the dude could feel like what he was doing immediately. And like he high stepped him, like yanked his foot and stomped backward. Bam. It's like stomped him in the head.
Oh, got ultimate fighting going on all of a sudden.
Yeah. It was one of those, like, I think the game wrapped up pretty quick after that because people were like, oh, this is getting a little intense. And I was like, I'm laughing at the guy laying on the ground now.
Right. That dude was an ass.
Yeah.
Still is.
Yep.
Yeah.
I still know that guy. You know, the extracurriculars and things like that. But I was able to compete in like mock trial and speech and things like that. Like I went to state competition for mock trial 3 hours away. We took a bus. I was gone for the weekend. Like, that shouldn't have been allowed.
Yeah, there's other places there where it wouldn't have been allowed. It was just with your congregation, they allowed it.
Yep.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. Yeah.
The pants is funny to me.
Yeah.
Like, women aren't allowed to wear pants in the Kingdom Hall or something like that.
Yeah, when it's meeting time, no.
If you're cleaning or something.
Yeah, you could wear pants, mm-hmm. but... There's a different thing that we weren't allowed to do, and that was for men to wear pants that were too tight.
Okay.
That was highly frowned upon. Yeah, no tight pants.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's one governing body member in specific that had a big issue with that, and he's done multiple parts on your pants being too tight and finding pleasure in your pants being too tight. Like things rub and it's like, man, you are creepy. What is going through your mind?
And his point is, you know, and you know who likes your pants being tight like that is the homosexuals that design them.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Yep. Yeah, he said that.
From the stage and that was an annual meeting or a branch visit. It was one of that was broadcasted to every JW on the planet. And I do know that actually is one that woke a lot of people up. They were like, "What?" Cuz he complained about women wearing yoga pants.
Mm-hmm.
He said Spanx. Yeah. No one's wearing Spanx. But
Spanx are like girdles.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm not entirely sure what they are.
Yeah. Like you're on the right track.
Okay. Yeah.
But yeah, like he was referring to what we would just call yoga pants or leggings.
Maybe he meant spandex.
He might probably have been it.
He was probably drunk.
He's also been seen at like liquor stores buying copious amounts of alcohol.
So there's this homophobic alcoholic talking to everyone.
Mm-hmm. Vietnam veteran. Mm-hmm. He is actually, he was in the.
I thought that wasn't allowed.
Yeah. He converted later.
Okay. J-Dub. What if you get drafted? There's a lot of questions.
If you get drafted, you go to jail.
Yeah, I had great uncles that were in jail for World War II. They all went to jail, prison, for 2 years, I think, apiece.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, North Korea, that's one big thing that they use even as a recruiting thing, you know, how faithful they are in North Korea or South Korea.
The Korean War?
Even currently, like all males when they turn 18 are expected to do 2 years of military service.
Okay.
Like it's just a compulsory service and they don't do it. Like you can't do that. So it's either you do that or you spend 2 years and then I think the other big one is, and we've talked about it a little bit, is the talking with disfellowshipped friends and family. Like that's just that shunning piece is just, it's one of the most dangerous and harmful practices that they have. You know, I think that one can't be stressed enough.
Oh, one, unless I'm just missing it, which is very possible, but one I'm surprised you don't have on here is birthdays.
I did have holidays, but yeah, I didn't say birthdays specifically.
Yeah, birthdays. Yeah. No birthdays.
Anniversaries are cool. You can celebrate wedding anniversary.
Yeah. Okay.
And you can have a graduation party, and you can have a wedding reception.
Yeah. No drinking.
Well, you can if you're... You could drink at your wedding reception.
Seems like most of them are like, no.
As long as both were above 21, I think it was.
I thought we were just talking about how everybody's drinking, and that's the one thing you're allowed to do. But
I don't
for
know.
For appearances, yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Dude, it is just, none of it made sense.
So you can drink, but you can't, like, officially be drinking, being seen or something like that?
A lot of times, like, you wouldn't want to have drinking at a gathering like that because it might stumble somebody or there might be some there that have a drinking problem and you wouldn't want to cause a hardship for them.
That was the excuse used for most stuff. You don't want to stumble your brother. Tattoos, you can't have tattoos. Why? You don't want to stumble your brother. Why can't I have a beard? You don't want to stumble your brother. You know, it's like, if me having a beard or a tattoo stumbles them and they leave the religion, that sounds like their problem.
Sounded like their faith was a little weak.
Yeah, not mine. And I used that argument and didn't go over too well.
It doesn't sound like you can argue. Like, arguments don't go over well at all, is it?
No.
Did any arguments work?
I talked about it on our podcast, tattoos. So I was, they gave me an elder to study with or whatever after I got publicly reproved and stuff. And I asked him about tattoos, and he's like, well, you know, here's a scripture. It says you shall not make markings upon your body for a deceased one or something like that. Sure. I'm like, okay, fair enough. But what about the scripture right before? It says that you shall not shave the extremity of your beard. He's like, yeah. I said, and what are we not allowed to have? He said, beards. I'm going to have to do a little more looking into this and get back to you. So this is a guy that's in charge of taking families away from people, creating huge life decisions for other people. He just got stumped by some punk 21-year-old on tattoos. So then he comes back. He says, yeah, you're right. You can have tattoos. Just don't flaunt it, basically.
Oh, wow.
So then I got a big one on my rib.
Good for you, man. You actually got through. That's amazing.
Yeah.
So maybe if we can just catch up with where you're at now that the thing that you don't do is be a Jehovah's Witness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's a lot of things wrapped up that we didn't do, but that's kind of the gist of it. Yeah, we don't do. And
now you can do all those things.
Yeah. I mean, I still don't do some of these things, but the majority of them.
By choice.
Yeah. Yeah. Or just don't need to, you know.
Ultimately, I just kind of do what it's, you're able to kind of chart your own path. And when you discover that you don't have to listen to eight guys in New York that really have no right to tell you what to do. And if, you know, if someone believes something, fantastic. If you're not harming another person, great. But if you, if this doesn't work for you and this isn't what you want to be involved with, there's no reason why you shouldn't be able to walk away from that and build a life for yourself outside of that. And so that's what I've, you know, that's kind of what I've tried to do. And, you know, like Ethan mentioned, there is a community on the outside of that. And so I was very fortunate to find some great people on, you know, on my way out. And so that was a huge, you know, a huge support. Being able to find that support system is massive. Therapy, again, can't recommend that enough. And, you know, again, kind of the cliche of it, but finding your tribe, like find who you click with.
One thing I think is we should mention too,
get
is
in where you fit in.
When you do get out, you do have that realization of I can do or not do whatever I want to or not want to do. Like, there's an illustration of, you know, you take a spring and you just keep compressing it and compressing it. And then once you let that thing go, it's just going to fly, man. So it can be kind of dangerous. I mean, I've known a lot of witnesses that just dive into drugs or whatever it is, because you're so ready to soak it all up. But I mean, you got to be careful. You got to be careful with that stuff. I think we've done okay. We've had.
Yeah, I mean, within reason. Times, I mean, sure, go ahead. Like,
yeah.
Go ahead. Have sex. Try drugs. Do whatever. You know, like, do your
experiment.
Thing. You can have fun. You don't have to be afraid of your own shadow. Like, that's kind of the long and short of it. You can.
You don't just have to feel guilty about doing things, you know, most things anyways.
Yeah, you still want to feel guilty if you're doing shitty things, but just don't do shitty things.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
It's kind of where it is.
Have consensual sex.
Have consensual sex.
Random people.
If they want to have sex with you,
do that.
Yeah. I mean, and if you want to try drugs, be safe.
Swear your little ass off. Yeah. You know?
Crappy.
Do whatever you want to do. Go give blood. Don't give blood. If you don't want to, don't give it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
But yeah, I think it's a very freeing feeling when you get past that initial trauma and that, oh God, when you kind of settle into your life. And I had a conversation with somebody the other day, like, I'm a much better person than I was. Like, I am a more kind, generous person. I never gave money to a homeless person sitting on the side of the road. But, like, I keep a couple dollars in my cup holder now so that I can help people out. Or
I still don't do that. I'll give them french fries or a burger or something.
if I had food, I would. But, like, I got cash.
Unless they're busking, then I'll give them some money.
If you're paying money, if you're playing some music or something, I'll throw a couple. But, you know, like, I try to be more generous and things like that and not – because I'm like, oh, I'm building towards heaven and I'm, you know, I'm a good person now, because it makes me feel better to help another human being. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's something that if you can, when you get past that initial shock, if you're on the outside and you find yourself in a position where you can be that support to other people, I think that's something that is important to help those around you and to be a support to them. You know, do what you can to help build your community.
Yeah. Try it. It feels good on its own. Yeah. Like it seems to me part of that might be like, you're not rule checking. You're not like, should I do this? Should I do that? And then, part of our nature, I would say as human beings is to be a group and that involves supporting each other.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like my roommates are talking about getting a bunch of people and renting a bigger house and all of us just living together. Because again, like we like that community. And hey, it makes rent cheaper.
Yeah. So. It's practical things too.
Right.
Yeah.
And Ethan, I saw you nodding your head when you said you're a better person now than you were before. Would you say that too? Or?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. 'Cause I'm happier.
Okay.
Yeah. I love myself more now. I get to do the things I want to do, you know, within reason. And I don't know, you become less judgmental. That's one thing, is you're extremely judgmental. And you don't even know it as a witness because it's just the way you're brought up. And I still have slip ups. I think we all do, but I feel I'm a better human now, more accepting of a lot of things and genuinely happy.
Well, yeah. Cheers again. I mean, it's wonderful to have you guys here. And thanks so much for talking.
Thank you for having us. It's amazing. I appreciate it's been fun, you know, listening to your podcast about other things that people don't do. So, I appreciate having us on.
I was pretty pumped I was going to come on here and talk about how I don't rake my yard because I'm pretty passionate about not raking
Let's
my
do
yard.
Let's another one.
You know what?
That's Let's fun. Do it again like another time. We'll talk about not raking your yard. Yeah. I might want to talk to you about it before you leave, too, because, I haven't been just because I haven't had time. But if I have a reason to not,
don't do it.
Don't mow it.
Don't just mulch them up with the lawnmower. It's good for your grass.
Okay. So just mow it once. And
Little critters live in all the leaves for the winter, provides food for the birds because there's all these critters and stuff, you know.
My name is Ocho. I am your host, chief engineer, and producer. I also composed and performed the theme song. If you or someone you know would like to be a guest on this show, apply today at ochotunes.com/guest. Also, kindly check out idontdothatpodcast.com/give to find the benefits of making a financial contribution to this show. Thanks to Braden Salisbury for the background music for this episode. Thanks to our sponsor, Primetime Web, to our guests, Tyler and Ethan, their podcast, Finding Paradise. And thanks to you for all that you do and all that you don't do. I will talk to you again if I'm lucky.
I don't do that.